This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We're coming up to 7:15 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. Now, recently on the show, we have spent a lot of time talking about the Malaysia Education Blueprint. So today we want to find out where PADU fits in, because PADU, the Education Performance and Delivery Unit from the MOE, was established to facilitate, support and deliver the ministry's vision in transforming Malaysia's system through the blueprint itself. So in other words, whenever it is that we wonder or ask, how does the blueprint translate into implementation? The answer pretty much is PADU. So we wanted to check in with them. In the meantime, of course, you can keep your thoughts coming. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Radzifuddin Nordin, CEO at PADU. Radzif, thank you so much for joining us. So we've been talking about the blueprint a lot. PADU plays a large role in the execution of said blueprint. Can you share with us what PADU does?
Sure. First of all, thank you to BFM for inviting me. Now, MEB is all about education transformation. The process is a complex one due to the magnitude, the size of stakeholders, and the breadth of the ministry's organizational structure. PADU is a strategic setup or unit focused on driving and facilitating and also monitoring the implementation of MEB programs. PADU is comprised of public and private sector individuals. The public sector individuals are from MOE as secondees, while the private sector folks are coming from various companies, MNCs, GLCs, who have a strong background in problem solving, delivery and engagement. So PADU's function is actually debottleneck problems, taking corrective actions to address any lagging performance of the programs, to create transparency by tracking and monitoring the implementation, providing stakeholder engagement, both internally within the ministry as well as externally with the public, facilitate cross-team cooperation and collaboration, and cultivate cultural change to work more effectively in the transformation journey.
So can you talk to us about some of the mechanisms that are used to track the progress of these aspirations in the blueprint? How do you know if you're on track?
Sure. So in the blueprint, it actually details out certain activities or certain programs that we need to execute by the ministry, right? And these are what we call initiatives. So the MEB initiatives delivery is monitored via the PADU delivery framework. So PADU delivery framework is basically broken into a few phases. We have the initiative planning, which is a detailed planning of implementation on the initiatives with specific targets as set as the KPI. Then we have a dashboard where we monitor the initiative progressively on a weekly basis and on a monthly basis. We do problem solving once a month at the steering committee level. We also have a mid-year and a year-end review. And these are checkpoints where we look at the initiative implementation and see how we can improve it. And finally, we have the annual report, which is a list, a book that we publish every year to document the achievements, best practices, and also lessons learned. Because in the process or the journey of the transformation, not everything is as rosy as it seems, right? There are some achievements being made, but there are also obstacles and that we need to overcome and lessons learned that we can carry on for the next year. To monitor whether we're on track, normally we will refer back to the blueprint where we do our stock take. So in the blueprint, it already states out how we're going to do or how is the approach for improving the Malaysian education system. And when we monitor the progress of this implementation via the dashboard, we can actually track as well all the outcomes and outputs via our stock take activity.
So we are in the final wave of the blueprint. Do you think that the outcomes targeted in the MEB can be achieved by the end of wave three in 2025?
Okay, there are five system aspirations: access, quality, equity, unity, and efficiency. And each of these system aspirations has its targets. So when we look at whether we are achieving the targets or outcomes that we want, we will look at these five system aspirations and whether we are close or we are reaching the target already, right? Overall, we are still progressing towards the end target in 2025. So for example, if we look at the system aspiration access, where we want to reach 100% enrollment at all levels. We have always almost reached the target for primary, which is about 98.2% and lower secondary at 95.3%. And we're still progressing and making good progress in terms of preschool, which is about 83.5%, and upper secondary, which is 87.6%. So some ways to go for the preschool and upper secondary. Now, if you look at quality, the target is actually to become top one-third in the international assessment, which is normally evaluated at TIMSS and PISA, within 15 years. So when we started off, we are at the bottom one-third. We're slowly progressing towards the meeting the average of international assessment. In 2018, we have actually improved in average about 13% across all three literacy areas, reading, mathematics, and science, compared to 2012. And for TIMSS 2019, we have improved about 20 to 30 points in maths and science compared to 2011. So our next participation will be in PISA 2022 in April and TIMSS 2023 in October. And I think we would see decent growth or decent improvements there as our students are more well-equipped in terms of high-order thinking skills being taught at schools and so on and so forth.
So in our past coverage of the blueprint, there were conversations around the drastic impact that COVID-19 has had on education, things like learning loss and limited access to online learning being some of the major issues. How is the blueprint adapting to these challenges and what impact would it have on the timeline?
Yes, so the COVID-19 pandemic has brought disruptions in the teaching and learning process worldwide. And this impact, this actually impacts highly on the vulnerable and the marginalized learners. And the economic downturn of this crisis is now adding additional pressure on the national education budget at a time where the increased funding is needed. So MOE has quickly reacted on this and to ensure that the learning never stops during this crisis. PADU supports this by helping in terms of the critical initiatives. For example, there is an initiative called Pelibatan Ibu Bapa, Community dan Swasta, which it looks into collaborations and partnerships with the private sector, as well as engaging the parents and also the community in managing the learning loss, right? So this is one of the bigger initiatives being pushed. And in this crisis, more than ever, we need to collaborate and actually work together with the parents, with the communities, to make sure that our students minimize their learning loss during this period. Also, we have assisted the ministry through effective delivery of PDPR through various platforms. You are familiar with Didact TV and Delima. Both are platforms of MOE, and we have been working to support the ministry on all these initiatives and programs. I would like to also mention here on how MOE has worked to modify the curriculum and also adapt the lessons plan to carry on with instructions using high, low, and also no-tech solutions. For remote teaching, they continue to provide whatever technology or tools that they have available. And also they do flexible pedagogies for online, blended, and offline learning. And they are prepared for any eventuality in terms of this crisis. So the main point is that we have to look into different ideas, different platforms, and different tools to enable the continuation of learning for our students wherever they may be. In my opinion, the people at NOE, together with the education stakeholders, have rallied together well to ensure learning continues and using these various platforms. There have been course corrections to cater for the new norm and any disruptions that occur. And it might affect some of the targets or the timeline, but the teams in the ministry, as well as in PADU, are committed to seeing this all the way to the end for the education transformation.
Now, why do some initiatives falter while others thrive? I mean, everything, I assume, is subject to the PADU delivery framework, right? As you mentioned earlier.
Right. So each initiative actually has different scope, different difficulties, levels, and has its own challenges in the implementation. So through our delivery framework, we address those challenges via the steering committee, problem solving, and so on and so forth. Some initiatives actually that requires on-the-ground face-to-face activities with the students could not be done during this pandemic, right? So I wouldn't say falter, but I would say that initiatives progress actually moves at a different rates. Each initiatives that we represent are actually interventions or programs that are done to improve the Malaysian education system, right? So there has been a lot of push towards mandatory competency of level of English option teachers to meet the Common European Framework Reference of Languages, or CEFR. We have done strategies to reduce the various gaps, socioeconomic, gender gap, as well as urban-rural gaps, through our district education officers and also the various school improvement specialists, coaches and officers. But some interventions require policy introduction, which might take longer. Some are actually strategic implementation, and some are operational ones that can be implemented as quick wins. So all this is monitored via the PADU delivery framework, right? Now, for initiatives that are not really working and meeting some obstacles, right? What we'll do is that we'll monitor it via our dashboard, which we report to the MOE management on a weekly basis without fail, right? So if we feel that there are some initiatives that are hitting a stumbling block or obstacle, then we'll quickly do clinic sessions to discuss with the working level and see what are the possible solutions to remove this obstacle. And then we'll bring it up to the steering committee, which sits almost every month. And finally, we do have twice a year review, as I mentioned earlier, through mid-year review and also the year-end review. This involves the MOE senior management and chaired by the minister himself. So if there is a need to problem solve and requires ministerial intervention, for example, there are some obstacles or solutions that require other ministries to support, our minister will bring it across in the cabinet to get it resolved. For example, preschool enrollment or literacy and numeracy screening. These are all things that require multi-ministerial collaboration. So these are being addressed at the ministerial level. Finally, I think the management team will deliberate all these issues and lessons learned and provide guidance for the initiative implementation as we move along year on year for better improvement in terms of our implementation.
Right. So what can education stakeholders expect as we lead towards 2025?
All right. For the transformation of the Malaysian education system to be effective and sustainable, each stakeholder, right, must understand the critical role that they play and how they will benefit. It is not a situation whereby it is just the ministry doing it. It is a collaborative effort. It involves all the stakeholders. Now, on paper, we can say everything is nice and it can be managed. But in reality, there are challenges and barriers that can appear without us expecting it. Take COVID-19, for example. Some may say that we can use the excuse of this pandemic for the delays that happened and so forth. And it has set us back in some areas. For example, the learning loss that you mentioned earlier on and so forth. But it also gives us an extra push in some areas. For example, the ministry have always planned for online learning and digitalization. So now this plan, with the crisis hit, we had to push harder to get those up and running. And thankfully, we have the online platform, which is accessible to all the students. And we're rolling out also the laptops for the B40 and so forth. So the ministry is working hard to make sure that digitalization occurs. And also we provide quality education to all our students. Now, by 2025, if we keep the momentum up, we hope to see an education system that is robust, holistic, inclusive, and also future-proof, so that all the education stakeholders, especially the students, teachers, and school leaders, can benefit from this education transformation. I'll be realistic and say that there might be some gaps in the outcomes, but as you know, education is always a work in progress and every day is an opportunity for us to keep doing better. And PADU and the ministry is committed to providing the best and quality education to our stakeholders, which is the students.
Radzif, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Radzifuddin Nordin, CEO at PADU, talking about their role in implementing Malaysia's education blueprint. And that is it for us for now. If you'd like to share your thoughts, keep them coming. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.